precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Commandments of the Lord are clear, enlightening the eyes. Let us then enter into worship, giving thanks for and giving heed to the enlightening word of God for us for today. Let us pray. God of light, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We cannot find our way in the darkness of our worldly journey apart from the light shed by your presence and your speaking. We open ourselves anew this day to your correcting, challenging and comforting word, that our lives may be transfigured, that a glimpse of your glory may be seen in and through us. For Christ's sake. Amen. On this day, which is the Sunday before the commencement of Lent, the Church remembers the experience of Jesus called the Transfiguration, when Peter, James and John shared a wonderful experience with him. You'll notice this morning that all our hymns are from the Australian hymn book. I went through together in song trying to find appropriate Transfiguration hymns and found one to which there was a tune that somebody might know. The others I didn't even know the tunes of. So I went from TIS then back to the AHV, where at least I found some hymns and tunes that most of us might have a chance of knowing, although one that I thought you might know, Gloria says, no, we don't know that one, can we sing it to such and such? So, there's a little bit of confusion as we go this morning, because I only found out I had to take the service last Thursday morning, and there's been rather panic on since then to put everything together. So, I trust that all will come together well. The first hymn is number 473 in the AHB, which we sing to the first tune of hymn number 1 in the AHB. Author of Faith, Eternal Word, whose Spirit breathes the active flame.
Singing, sure and true, to live again.
number 99. The Lord is King. Let the earth tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all peoples. Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One. Almighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them. O Lord our God, you have answered them indeed. You were the God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God, and worship him upon his holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One. Let us pray. We come to seek your forgiveness this day, Lord, as we, like the disciples, have not listened to you. We have focused on the sensational rather than on the holy. We have missed the opportunity to deepen our love and understanding of you. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Father, the psalmist of old said that the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. But we do not always want to understand this truth. The light of your word is so penetrating, probing our deepest places, that we sometimes want to shade our eyes. There are those things about ourselves and our lives that we would rather not have illuminated by your penetrating light. We confess that in self-satisfaction or self-justification, we are reluctant to hear your word, your radical, confronting word that requires us to turn our lives around, to let go of our ego controls, to turn the other cheek, and to forgive our enemies. We say we want your light to guide us, but in reality, we just want confirmation of our own predetermined path. We confess also that sometimes we have used your word of scripture to prove our particular viewpoint, or to avoid facing the truth of the message that the scripture brings. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to open ourselves to your healing, transforming light. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your offer of forgiveness extends to each and every one of us. We confess our sins, and you have mercy on us, restoring us in love and peace. We thank you, Lord, that through Jesus Christ we have light sufficient for our daily lives. We do not walk in darkness, for your light shines upon us. We thank you for the humanity of the biblical story in its identification with our own personal struggles. We thank you too for all those who have shared life with us, and for those with whom we share life now. For families and for friends, for those who are near to us and those who are far away, we thank you for all that they mean to us and for the blessings that they have brought or still bring to our lives. We thank you too for all those with whom we share in the family of your church. And we pray that we may ever be brought closer together in faith and hope and love. We thank you for the big things which have been part of our journey, and bless you for the little things which have meant so much: a helping hand, a kindly and comforting word, an encouragement when things have become difficult. For all your blessings, both great and small, we bless your name today. May your Holy Spirit continue to guide and lead us as we face each day on our earthly journey. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Something we haven't done for a long time that I can remember. Anybody had a birthday in the last week or so? No? I better not. That's what I was going to do if I found any birthdays. I might get into trouble. See, I can remember when I was at Bracken Ridge. Every Sunday morning we had a birthday experience to try to find out what we could find about people. And you'd be amazed with in-depth interviews how many things you can find out. Not today. Yeah, Junior. Is it Junior's birthday? Huh? Right, okay. Well, have all the boys and girls down the front at any rate. But when you have in-depth interviews, you find out a lot of things that you didn't know people had hidden behind their life stories. Now, here we go, I'm going to have trouble. Think I can sit down and get up again? I'll be right through. Probably doesn't sit on. Oh, it's a long way down here. What are you talking about this morning? Good question. Let's have a look in my book and see. Oh, yes. A little girl asked her father, "Where does God live?" Dad must have been rather busy at the time because he said, "In the well at the bottom of the garden." And she said, "Huh?" And afterwards, he thought too. What a silly answer. And then he realised that years and years before, when he was a little fellow, living in a place called Poland in Europe, there were a group of travellers came past their house. And his parents gave them some refreshment. And one of the travellers was a great big man. Probably would have made about three or four times my size. And this guy was looking around. And he saw a well down in the back garden. And this big man went over the well to look into it to see if there was any water in the bottom of the well. His father remembered that he'd been there, and he'd watched this big man look over the edge of the well. And he said to him, "What are you looking for?" "Oh," said the big man, "do you know that God lives down this well?" "Oh," said the boy. "Oh, yes, come here." And the big man picked him up and held him over the top of the well and said to him, "What can you see?" "I see myself. I see my own reflection." "Well," the big man said, "that's where God is." And it's true. God lives in us. God's Holy Spirit
While I'm sitting down here, I'll get into trouble if I don't tell these bitches behind us a story about little Johnny. I thought that happened. Little Johnny. Little Johnny had to go to the hospital for an operation on his tonsils. His mum and dad came in to see him after the operation. And they found him terribly upset. He was crying and going on. And they said to him, "What's wrong? What's the trouble? Was it your operation?" "Yes," he said, "it was. It was." He said, "I was asleep and I missed the whole thing." Yes, many things happen in life, don't they? And we don't like to miss any of them. Let's sing together our next hymn, is number 186. Let all be one. And at the end of the hymn, I think boys and girls might be going out for Sunday school. They sit up the back of the activity sheet. Right, but when we sing the hymn, then you can get up the back and join the activity sheet. Okay, let's sing. It'll all be one with my heart. Thanks very much.
From 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 16 to 21. Eyewitnesses of Christ's glory. We have not depended on made up stories in making known to you the mighty coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. With our eyes we saw his greatness. We were there when he was given honor and glory by God the Father, when the voice came to him from the supreme God saying, "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased." We ourselves heard this voice coming from heaven when we were with him in the holy mountain. So we are even more confident with the message proclaimed by the prophets. You will do well to pay attention to it, because it is like a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the light of the morning star shines in your heart. Above all else, however, Remember that no one can explain by himself a prophecy in the scriptures, for no prophetic message ever came just from the will of man, but men were under the control of the Holy Spirit as they spoke the message that came from God. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. The Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and his brothers James and John and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. As they looked on, a change came over Jesus. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes were dazzling white. Then the three disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. So Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how good it is that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was talking, a shining cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my own dear son, with whom I am pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard the voice, they were so terrified that they threw themselves face downwards on the ground. Jesus came to them and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." So they looked up and saw no one there but Jesus. As they came down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Don't tell anyone about the visions you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Both of the passages that Ellen just read to us are passages which refer to the transfiguration of Jesus. This is not an easy situation to understand. And I don't know whether by the time I'm finished this morning you will find it any more understandable. But can I suggest that you read the reflection on the notice sheet that because it takes up some things that I wasn't able to say in the rest of the sermon area. Three disciples, Peter, James and John, went up the high mountain with Jesus. And how many times mountains occur in the scriptures? I've listed a few of them in the reflection. And what happened on the top of that mountain was an experience that is very hard to explain, indeed, which is difficult to explain. But they saw Jesus transfigured, changed. They saw his glory. They saw the presence of God enfolding him. And they were given in that situation a realization of who Jesus really was. They saw this change come across him. They saw his heavenly glory. And they were changed too. After this experience, they were never the same again. Their lives were greatly touched by what happened. It was a change for the better. It was a day of growth and renewal and opportunity for them. And the consequences of that day keep marching on down through all the centuries. They reach us and our land, and this day and this hour. And Christian worship is a little clearing in the time provided through faith and tradition for us to be participants in the transfiguration and to be changed and renewed ourselves. This is why the church doors are open today. This is why we've been singing hymns and offering prayers. This is why we read the scriptures and the sermons preached. And stained glass windows reflect the sky, and the air itself is filled with a doxology. So let's think this morning about what the transfiguration of Jesus, this experience the disciples shared, means for us. Because that is really the important thing. Firstly, in the language of today, we might say that Peter, James and John were realigned on the Mount of Transfiguration. A little bit like the little boy who said that the resurrection meant that Jesus was recycled. Now worship itself is a time for realignment. We come here to be reminded of who we are and to be renewed to participate in the promise and pleasure God expressed through the transfiguration. You know, if Jesus was to walk with us through one of our vast shopping centre car parks, surely it's not impossible to hear him saying, "See those steel radial tyres on this car? They will soon be no good at all. One side of the tread is worn down, while the other has kilometres of good use left on it. And that'll be wasted, because something is out of balance." Transfiguration speaks to us of the realignment that Christ makes possible in our lives. The realization that we are made for a purpose and that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And secondly, one of the similar signs that individuals or churches or nations are out of alignment. The Old Testament prophet Amos, in chapter 2 of his writings, offered a plumb line to Israel. And he did not mince his words about the unbalanced wear and tear that he saw in his nation's life. Amos declared, "The Lord says, the people of Israel have sinned again and again, and for this I will certainly punish them. They sell into slavery men who can't pay their debts, poor men who cannot even repay the price of a pair of sandals. They trample down the weak and the helpless, and they push the poor out of the way." There are symptoms in every public crime and private vice, in every war and in every want, that show that people too are out of alignment and out of balance. There are as well personal symptoms of our need for realignment. Short tempers and paralyzing anxieties, and human greed, lower energy, and many physical ailments rooted in sickness of spirit. So many things that affect our life daily can come about because of these things. Well, how do we get realigned? That requires a revelation, a measuring stick that is in harmony with the universe, a plumb line set by God in the heart of his people. despite all of our limitations, where two or three are gathered together in the name of Christ, He is there. The whole event of Christians gathering together for prayer and praise, the celebration of word and sacrament, is a human divine encounter designed for joyous and liberating realignment. And then thirdly, something that wasn't really touched on in our second reading this morning, but follows in the following verses in that particular chapter. More than realignment keeps us returning in season and out to the plumb line of corporate worship, back to the sight and sense of the Transfiguration. If you stood and watched your car having its wheel alignment checked on the wheel alignment machine, it's really anchored there. For the time being, it's going nowhere. And that's proper and essential in that moment. But it is not meant to stay forever high and lifted up on that contraption. And human lives are not created to stay in perpetual formal worship. Yes, Jesus took his disciples up the mountain and was transfigured before them. But they also came down from that mountain. For he saw there was still much more work to be done. In a way, too much prayer and worship and attendance upon the inner life with God is not simply a matter of realignment. It includes the wonderful moment of our response when we employ our human freedom, which marks us in God's image. Jesus and his disciples came down from the mountain and were immediately faced with a specific human need. And we engage the gear. When we get the car out of park or neutral and open the gate, allowing the energy and loving and creative God to flow through us with a moving and thrusting vitality. Out of into the pain and the beauty of the road ahead, with all its traffic and resting places, with its dangers and its worth, and with its ending place with the Almighty God of us all, then we find what the Transfiguration means for us. Transfiguration means realignment, then repositioning of God's call to worship and to service. Let us pray. Lord, as the Transfiguration marked a special time in the life of Christ, may we all be realigned by His Spirit at work within us, that we may see His glory and magnify His name in our worship and in our service. Amen. Hymn 390, How Good Lord to Be Here. Shine with my glory.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this morning. We're grateful to Ted for stepping in and taking our service this morning. Thank you very much, Ted. The reason is that church council, we decided to go back to a practice that has always been there but probably not always used, and that is that on the fifth Sunday of the month we would give our minister the day off, and so we've given Louis the day off from preaching today. And someone's going to say, but hang on, it's February, there's only 4 days in the month, Sundays. Yeah. The problem is, there were 5 Sundays in January, and Louis didn't get the opportunity to take that Sunday off, so we said we'd give you a Sunday off, 4th Sunday in February, so that's it. That caused a bit of confusion, and so that's the reason why we have to ask Ted at very, very short notice to come and take our service. We're very grateful for it. The notices are set out in your notice sheet. I'd just like to mention a couple of things. First of all, there's a notice that's not there, and that is with regard to the social group. The social group will be meeting next Friday morning, and at this point in time it's going to be held at the next home. It starts at 10 o'clock, and everyone's welcome to come along. We have indoor games like Scrabble or Rummy Cub or Patch Cards, and if you'd like to come, start at 10 o'clock, and we usually bring our own lunch with us so we can have our lunch at the conclusion of the morning's activities. Just a reminder that the annual general meeting of the congregation will be held after morning worship on the 19th of March, that's in 3 weeks' time. Next Sunday we hope to be able to give you copies of the report for that meeting. Margaret has printed out some copies of the Presbytery newsletter, and some of those are available in the ports if you'd like to see what's happening with Presbytery activities. And also there are some items on the back page of the notice sheet. Please take the time to read those things. Let us worship God with our free will offering.
Giving of our lives in your service. In Jesus' name, Amen. I always have a little laugh to myself these days when I hear of ministers being granted Sundays off. When I first went to Cairns in 1957 for my first appointment, up until the time that
we did, the presbytery did a review of the Sandgate Parish in about 19, I've worked this out, well, sometime in the mid-1980s, I can't remember having any Sundays off apart from the Sundays I was on holidays, or sick in bed, there were very few of those. That always gives me just a little bit of a smile. The presbytery suggested to Sandgate that they give me at least 2 Sundays off a year. And then they decided as well that it was time, after the situations that we had been through in the Sandgate Parish, that it might be better for me to move to a new appointment. And the new appointment didn't have Sundays off. So I think I had 2 in the whole of the period. So just pardon my weird sense of humour. It doesn't get any better as the years go on. Half pay, what's that?
Time and a half.
Time and a half. Even less chance for that. We come to our prayers for people. Are there any special requests for our prayer time this morning? Well, let us join in prayer. Father God, we pray for a fuller understanding of who we are and of our spiritual potential, that we might be realigned with your special purposes. We pray that we may claim by faith and experience the truth that your all-pervasive, transcendent and creative presence within us and within all things. We pray that your church would rise above any resistance to change, above the discouragement of declining numbers and economic concerns, and assume her rightful prophetic function and declare your word without fear or favour. We come to pray for the people around us, for the people with whom we share life, for those who turn away in judgment or fear from anything which cannot be experienced by the 5 physical senses. We pray for those who are dispirited, that they may be able to transcend their present darkness and come into the light. As we've used so much that is not right with the world, we pray for the drawing into the path of love of those who misuse their powers. We pray for the troubled spots of the world, for national leaders, and for people, for refugees looking for a new home, for aid agencies, and for all who care. We pray for the church in the world, for our particular church family of the Uniting Church in Australia, preparing to celebrate later this year 40 years of ministry. For the wider church, indeed, for the whole people of God, not only within this community, but within the whole of the world in which we live. We pray for the sick and the suffering. We pray for those with terminal illnesses, for those in palliative care. We pray for the ministries exercised by nursing homes, by residential care accommodation, and for the staff who work in such places, ministering to the needs of those around about us. day we would pray for the former chaplain of Pinewoods Nursing Home, now the chaplain to Azure Blue and Heroine and Nazarene at Redcliffe. Tomorrow week. She will be commissioned as a pastor in the Uniting Church. We pray for Jill McNally and her ministry, the ongoing work in which she is involved. Pray for the work of missionary societies, the Bible Society, Scripture Union, the school chaplaincies, for the multifaceted ministry of your church in the world. May your Holy Spirit guide and lead us as we play our part within the life of your church. As you guide your whole church to minister to you in a world in which your presence needs to be seen and felt. Hear us in our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us all to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Concluding hymn is number 541 in the Australian hymn book, and we sing it to the tune of hymn 137. Almighty Father, who dost give the gift of life to all who live. Thank you. live out what you are through Christ, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.